Please turn your Bibles to Proverbs 31. I would like to honor my wife this morning by doing something that she wrote back in college. She actually wrote an interpretive paraphrase of this particular Proverbs from verses 10 through 31. And so if you'll bear with me for just a moment, follow along in your Bibles. We've already heard the scripture that has been read, and then this is just, there's a few little interpretive twists as she studied and did a word study on every one of the words in that particular proverb. And so this is my wife's dealing, and you'll be able to realize that I wish she wrote my sermons, but she doesn't do that anymore, or doesn't do that. She stopped doing that last week. No, I'm just kidding. It would be a lot better if she did write them for me. But Proverbs 31, follow along as I read verses 10 through 31. Who can find a capable wife? For her value exceeds that of priceless jewels. Her husband places his confidence in her, so he has no need of seeking gain by the plundering of war. She does good and not harm to him all the days of her life. She examines and selects wool and flax, and works at making things with her hands with great pleasure. She is like the trade ships. She brings her food from distant places. She gets up in the early morning before it is light. She gives food to her household and assigns duties to her servant girls. She thoughtfully examines a plot of land and purchases it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She works industriously and strengthens her arms for her tasks. She evaluates the good of her trading. Her lamp stays lit all night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her palms hold the spindle. She spreads her palms out to the afflicted and extends her hand to those who are in need. Snow does not cause her to fear for her household, for they are all dressed in scarlet clothing. She makes ornamental coverings for herself. Her garments are made from fine linen and purple cloth. Her husband is well known in the city's meeting place, for he is a member of the council of governing men. She makes and sells fine white linen undergarments and supplies the traders with belts. She is clothed with power and dignity, and she smiles at the future. She speaks with wisdom, and the instruction of kindness is on her tongue. She is fully aware of the actions of her family members, and she is not lazy. Her children stand up and bless her, and her husband speaks of her with pride, saying, "Many women have shown capabilities, but you rise above them all." Charm is deceitful, and outward beauty is temporary, but the woman who reverently worships the Lord will be praised. Give her the achievement of her hands, and let her be praised in the meeting place of the city for her workmanship. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that gives us instruction. It gives us examples to follow. And you don't leave us in the dark as far as how we're to live our life. And so, Father, I pray that the first step we would all take is putting our trust in Jesus Christ, knowing what it really means and seeking to know what it means to fear the Lord in everything we do. Lord, we love you. Please instruct us in these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this, "The Woman of Noble Character." We could put it in a different way, a portrait of a woman of noble character, to go with our portrait series. But what does God say a woman is to be like? We see Proverbs 31 here is a revelation to us of what an excellent woman, or a noble woman, or a capable woman is to be like. This is the ideal. This is the model. This is not to discourage all of you women. This is not to make you feel crummy this morning. But it's something to strive for. And here I believe King Lemuel, who is mentioned in verse 1, is passing on what his mother has passed on to him and told him about what it's like to pick out an excellent wife. Many Bible commentaries feel this is actually Solomon's mother instructing him and he's using King Lemuel to refer to himself, as he's doing in the book of Ecclesiastes when he refers to himself as the preacher. We don't know, we can't say that dogmatically, but it would be a good chance that this would be Solomon passing on words of wisdom that his own mother has passed on to him. Unfortunately, Solomon did not heed the instruction of his mother, if this is in fact Solomon writing these words. He is later on in his life regretting what he had done throughout his life. 1 Kings chapter, I believe it's 11, tells us that he turned away from God and he went after women of other nations. He ended up with 700 wives and 300 concubines, and they turned his heart away from God. If he had heeded the advice of his own mother, he would have stuck with a godly wife and would have not gone on looking for more throughout his life. The book of Proverbs deals with many different subjects and many different characters, as we've already looked at. A lot has been said about the fool and the simple and the scoffer and others, but there's a lot to be said about women throughout the book as well. We're introduced to a number of women that are not to be followed. There's the adulteress that is mentioned early in the book of Proverbs. She flatters with her lips. She doesn't follow through on the covenant she made with her husband. There's the noisy woman or the loud and boisterous woman. This is the woman with whom no one wants to live. I didn't say it. Proverbs did. All right. Solomon did. I dare not go there. Okay. But the proverb says that the man would rather live in a small place on a roof rather than a big house with a boisterous woman. Again, I did not say it. All right. It also talks about the foolish woman, the rebellious woman, the quarrelsome woman. But today, lest I get in a lot of trouble, I want to deal with the virtuous woman. Proverbs 12, verse 4 says, "A wife of noble character, or an excellent wife, is her husband's crown. But she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones." There is nothing better than a woman of noble character, and nothing worse than the opposite of that. There is no doubt, based on this particular chapter and many others, that a woman, a wife in particular, has a great influence in the home. We've heard about that already from you. We talk about the fact that God has designed men to be the head of the household. He is to provide, he is to protect, he is to be a loving leader. But I tell you, there's no doubt, there's no question about the influence that a wife has. And so we're going to talk about this today. We're going to talk about this matter here before us, the qualities listed in Proverbs 31 for an excellent wife. So let's approach it this way. If the writer of Proverbs 31 can use an acrostic format, then I will use an alliteration format. Okay? So it gives me permission to do that. But we're going to talk about the capability of this woman that is mentioned here before us. And you can fill in the first blanks as it goes down through. As a wife, as a homemaker, number two, as a neighbor, as a teacher, as a mother, and as a godly woman. We're going to talk about that today. As a wife, as a homemaker, as a neighbor, as a teacher, as a mother, and as a godly woman. This woman of noble character. As we see that word mentioned in verse 10, an excellent wife. The NIV says noble woman. The Hebrew word means strength, ability, or capability. Who can find a capable wife? That's really what, in essence, what it's talking about. The emphasis is on a well-rounded and capable woman. She has found the source of truth, the source of strength, and she is fulfilling out her roles to accomplish her tasks. And we find the last point, which we're going to deal with, the godly woman, she knows the fear of the Lord. That's where her strength is found. That's where the source of her life is all about. That's the source of her wisdom. And that's really where it begins, and that we're going to close with that particular point. But let's start with number one. As a wife, she is dependable. Let me back up just a moment. Before I go on, I want to just mention that this particular series of verses, 22 verses, verses 10 through 31, each begin with a Hebrew letter of the alphabet. There are 22 characters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each one of these verses begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is really a poem written with the Hebrew alphabet for people to remember. It's easier for memory, especially those the Hebrew women and the Hebrew individuals, to know about what God wanted them to know about what a wife should be like, an excellent wife. You young guys that are looking for a wife, there's some here today. Some are in high school, some are in college, some are in their careers. Actually, some very important points here to look for in a woman that God is pleased with. So let's look at the characteristics of a capable wife. Number one, as a wife, she is dependable. Notice verse 11. The heart of her husband, what, class? Trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. We need to understand this in the ancient context in which it was written. Women at that particular time were looked not on the way God intended for them to be looked upon. They were looked down upon in many cases as second-class citizens. And very often men built strong relationships and friendships with other men, but maintained their wives only as servants. And in some cases, not even maintaining a devotion to them, they would add additional concubines for intimate acts. And so the wives were often very distant. They were treated often like servants or slaves. Unfortunately, there are places around the globe that still treat women and their wives like that. Consequently, there was not a lot of devotion between the two. There was a lack of trust. And I've read even from ancient documents that it was often common for husbands to lock up their valuables before they went away for fear that their wives would take them away and run. I'm glad that I don't have to, when I leave home, have to lock up my things from my wife. Why? Because I have complete trust in my wife. One of the first things we read in this whole passage is that husbands don't need to lock up anything because they trust in her. There's an intimate relationship built on complete trust. The husband can go to work, he can go away on a business trip, and have absolute confidence in her integrity, her wisdom, and her discretion. His comfort is her concern. His burdens are hers to relieve. He is at ease no matter where he is safe with her, she is trustworthy. Verse 12 says, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. This Jewish mother, maybe possibly Bathsheba, tells her son, you want a woman who always has your best in mind. One who is dependable, one who is trustworthy. Her love is so deep, it is pure and powerful, and there's a devotion that never changes all of her life long. And a footnote to add to that. She's willing to tell her husband what needs to be said, to tell the truth when he's sinning, when he's not doing the right thing. How often I will look across the table at my wife and just with one little look, I'll know that I have done something wrong. Now the key is trying to find out what it is. But trust, dependability. That is a characteristic, that is a mark of an excellent, a capable wife. And later on in verse 23, it says, her husband is known in the gates. And I think there's a tie-in there. Because of her reputation and because of her doing her job and a willingness to stay with him no matter what, she is known far and wide. And I believe his reputation is excellent and she had something to do with it. She serves him well. She cares about him. She is devoted. She is dedicated. She is there. She's trustworthy. Second, so we see she is, as a wife, she's dependable. Second, as a homemaker, she is dedicated. So here's our second D, dedicated. Her dedication as a homemaker takes up really the most of this particular passage. You'll see verse after verse, beginning with verse 13, you see this dedication that she exemplifies. Her devotion is amazing. She works with her hands, verse 13 says, to make things and does it with pleasure. Verse 14, she gets good value for her money. You look at this and it's like, what does this mean? She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. It's kind of like my wife. She finds coupons and drives 30 miles to find the best bargain. So she's like that ship that goes afar to do whatever to bring back for her household. She takes a journey and does whatever it takes. In this particular case, and it could have been taking a boat. It could have been walking a distance. But she finds great delight in doing whatever it takes to provide for the needs of her family. Verse 15, she gets up while it is still night and provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. This is before dawn she's up. A lamp back at that time was always to be lit, and it was usually the responsibility of the wife to keep it lit. She would pour a little oil in the after midnight. She would get up early to keep it, to make sure it was burning on. She was industrious. You have to understand the culture of the day. Agriculture was very important. Growing crops was important. And we find she's buying even a field, and then it tells about she's planting a vineyard to help in the raising of the food for her family. It is wonderful when a woman has the time and an inclination and the talents and abilities to do things in the home that benefit the family. Verse 17 goes on and says, she sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for the task. I don't think it's talking about going to the local gym and working out with weights. I think here, though, it's just talking about she's working hard, doing everything within her power to help out the household. She's not soft. She's strong, and she works hard. She sees the merchandise for trading, and it's profitable. She makes wise decisions. Again, she works all hours. She works late. And again, you mothers can relate to that. Again, she's making things, and she's providing for during the winter, verse 21. And what we see in this whole portion here of the homemaker and how her dedication, we see a woman who uses her talents and resources to the best of her ability so that her household is efficient. She's thrifty and resourceful. She has a good head on her shoulders. She's taking care of everyone. I think many of you men here can attest to this as well, that our wives very rarely just sit around and eat bonbons. They are working hard. My wife is always on the move, is always doing something to care for what's going on and try to care for my needs as well, trying to organize us, trying to care for Jason's needs, and trying to care for the kids and the grandkids. I'll tell you one thing. I would never remember their birthdays or anniversaries of my boys if it weren't for my wife. I look on the calendar, oh yeah, I got to put that on my calendar. She's sending cards to them, sending emails, reminding me about things. And I'm going, wow, where would I be without her? Again, that homemaker and the dedication, praise God, for our wives and for their attentiveness to these things. Third, as a neighbor, she is a, here's a D, distributor of gifts. I had to really work at this one. But the idea is she's big-hearted. She's kind and generous. Where would we be, men, without our wives and the generosity and the care and the compassion that they have? God has gifted women with an extra measure of compassion. They sense people's needs better than men. I remember when the neighborhood kids would come around and they would want to play with our boys, they would usually go in to say hi to my wife. I would be passed up, and they'd like, you know, what about me? But they would look for my wife because usually she'd have some kind of treat for them. At trick-or-treat time, Halloween, I'd just as soon just sit in the other room and not open the door to anybody. Well, you know, I like people too. I like kids too. But It's annoying sometimes to go and open the door, give me candy, candy. She just loves it. But again, that's part of the distributor of gifts. She is always very generous and kind-hearted. And that's the mark of a capable woman. Fourth, as a teacher. As a teacher, she's a difference maker. You could use the word influence as well. We see it all through the passage. Verse 25, she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs at the days to come. She laughs at the future. It's nothing for her. And then it goes on in verse 26 and says, she speaks with wisdom. And then it says, faithful instruction is on her tongue. She opens her mouth, she speaks wisdom, and the wisdom comes with great kindness. My dad always told me as I was growing up, remember, Mark, he said, I married up. My dad was a farm boy. He could fix anything, though. He really grew up, but he was really quite a simple person in a lot of ways, but very knowledgeable about everything. Everybody loved him, but he said, it's all because of your mom, Mark. He always reminded me. He said, I married up. I married a nurse. I married the top of the high school class. She was valedictorian. And he says, you need to find somebody like that. And I did. I went to Bible school and I said, okay, I want to find somebody who was valedictorian of their... No, I didn't do that. Okay. But it just so happened that I did. I married a valedictorian of her high school class. I married a nurse who was top of her class. I married someone who was just far smarter than me. So who's the smart one here in this marriage? It's me. Because I married someone better than me. It's amazing. I followed my dad's advice. Marry up. And I did. Because my wife is a difference maker. My wife is brilliant. When it came time to learning Chinese, they said, you know what? You want to go to Hong Kong? You better take a language aptitude test. So we did. And it was humbling. Very humbling. I think I scored like 60% in learning language aptitude. And I thought that was pretty good until my wife's came out and it was 99%. I'm going, oh my goodness. So, but you know what? As it worked out, I had to, and they told me, you'll just have to spend a lot more time. And it did. I spent 4 hours studying for the next day and she would spend 2 hours. And we had a little boy at the time. So it worked out really great. And so my wife's ability was really an asset for us as we were trying to keep the household and trying to learn the language. But praise God, as a teacher, she's a difference maker. A mom, there's nothing like teaching through not only your words, but through your actions. Number five, as a mother, she is devoted. As a mother, she's devoted. She's set apart. She is aware of what's going on. Isn't it amazing, you guys, to recognize your wife knows everything that's going on? It's amazing. We see her blessed. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. And because of that devotion, her kids raise up and bless her. Her husband raises up and blesses her. Her family respects her. Everyone praises her. Her husband has full confidence in her. There's an old saying, behind every successful man, there's a good woman and a surprised mother-in-law. I found this on the computer. I don't know how I happened to run across it, but here's a letter that Michael, a note that Michael wrote at school at the age of 13, talking about his mom. I don't know what assignment it was for, but it kind of gives you an idea of a child raising up and blessing his mom for her devotion. He writes this, "You could call my mom one of the hardest working women in America. She manages to love and care for us, all the while dealing with me and my two brothers. Because of her past nurse experience, she'll always know what to do if, well, more likely when, we get hurt. You know that of Michael. One of my favorite things about my mom is the way she cooks. Whenever we eat bananas, I make sure no one else eats them all, because if we wait long enough, she makes banana bread. The aroma is awesome. It makes you drool like a Saint Bernard." It must have been English class and writing or something. "My mom is so amazing that she even sits through my baseball games. She is always there when I need her. I can talk to her whenever I want to. Her fingers are graceful as she plays piano at church on Sunday mornings. I love her, and I know that she loves me too. That was special. I was hoping my wife could be here today as I read that, not feeling well. But I'll read it for her again when I get home. But it's important to get to know the person, I think, ahead of time a little bit. One of the things that was probably the blessed thing that I got to know my wife for about 4.5 years before we got married. I knew her in and out, but you know, the thing that really encouraged me the most was just the way she loved God. And that's our last point. As a godly woman, she is distinct. It says in verse 30 and 31, charm is deceitful, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Amen. Is to be praised. The ideal woman, the capable woman, first of all, loves God with all of her heart. Do not shortchange that point, especially you young men that are looking for a woman to be your wife. Look for someone who fears God. Interestingly enough, Proverbs starts off in chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it ends in chapter 31 with, here is a woman who fears the Lord. I don't think that's by accident at all. The fear of the Lord begins and closes the book of Proverbs. When I was going into my sophomore year of college, I met this young lady as we were meeting after we had just sung a concert. I was in a return. All summer long, I'd been singing with the singing group, and we came home, and we sang at the first weekend back on campus. And I'm walking past a group of girls and guys that are sitting out in front of a dorm. I joined them, and during the course of the night, I said, well, let's go around and give our names and try to remember the name of the person in front of you. There were probably 15 or 20, and so it was kind of a guessing game and remembering. But I remembered this girl named Judy that was over there on the other side of that circle. First weekend in my sophomore year, in probably a month's time, she was having a birthday, and I brought her a birthday cake. That's one cake I remembered, and one birthday I remembered that was good. And it was not long before I just began seeing an incredible love for God in this young woman. There were other girls with more flair. There were other girls who were more outgoing, but there was something very special about this young lady that I got to know and who later became my wife. The fear of the Lord was really evident in her life, and I praise God for that. Don't shortchange yourself, men, as you're picking a wife. And ladies, don't shortchange yourself. Loving God is a wonderful thing. Keep working with that. Keep growing in your understanding of God, because it's worth it all. And God will give you the wisdom that you need. And Lord knows we all need wisdom as we raise our kids, as we run our households, and as we seek to be all that God wants us to be. So today I've picked on you ladies. Men, you'll have your chance in a couple weeks, all right? But women, I pray that God will help you in your task. It's not easy to put up with us guys, to put up with the children and to do all that's involved, but love God with all your hearts. And I close with this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let me encourage you with that verse. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness in all of our lives. Thank you for giving us mothers, for the instruction that we've received from them. Forgive us when we have turned away and gone down the wrong path. But Father, thank you for blessing us and encouraging so many of us with Christian moms. And for those here who didn't have a Christian mom, praise God that you were there as a father, showing us the way, pointing us in the right direction, and helping us to know the truth. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ, may today be the day of salvation. Thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.